Hello, everyone. My name is Jody Shanoff, and I'm delighted to be your host tonight for the first of a series of budget engagement sessions for the City of Mississauga. The City is inviting residents to participate in the budgeting discussion not just by phone, but you can also watch us on Facebook Live by going to facebook.com/CityMississauga, all one word, or through a live stream on the City's website. Joining me this evening is Mayor Bonnie Crombie, along with members of the City's leadership team. Before we hear from our speakers, let me start by explaining how a budget engagement session works. Right now, residents from all over Mississauga are answering their phones and connecting to the discussion. We will hear from Mayor Crombie shortly. She and City staff are here tonight to talk about the City's 2022 budget. After that, it will be your turn. You will have a chance to ask your questions of the mayor and staff and to raise issues that you think are critical to Mississauga's 2022 budget. You can get in line to ask a question at any time by pressing *3 on your phone keypad. You'll then be put through to an operator who will take down your question and put you in line. For those of you joining us online, please type your question into the question field. If you're joining us through Facebook and you have a question, you can type it into the comments section within the live stream, and we'll put the question in the queue to be answered live later in the broadcast. If you have a question about the 2022 city budget but don't get a chance to ask it during our session tonight, you can send the following you can send it to the following email address, budget@mississauga.ca. That's budget@mississauga.ca. Throughout this session, we will be asking you questions in the form of quick polls. From time to time over the next hour and a half, I will read out a question and some multiple choice responses, and you will be able to use your keypad to respond. Here are a few things to keep in mind when you ask a question tonight. When using your phone to ask a question, press *3 on your keypad, and you'll be routed to an operator who will ask you to provide your name and the nature of your question. Please try to keep your question as brief as possible. There are a lot of people on the line, and we want to try to get to as many of your questions as we can. Remember to make sure your question is about the 2022 budget and priorities for next year. If you're joining us on Facebook, please type your question into the comments section within the live stream, and we'll put the question into the queue to be answered later in the broadcast. And remember, you have a few other options to provide your feedback, both by email and through polling questions throughout the evening. Again, my name is Jody Shanoff, and I'm excited to be your moderator for this budget engagement session with Mayor Crombie and staff from the City of Mississauga. It's my job to keep this conversation moving smoothly and to make sure we get to hear your opinions and have as much discussion as possible. Before we start getting to your questions, I would like to invite the mayor to say a few words. Mayor Crombie, what would you like the Mississauga residents to know about the work going on to prepare the 2022 city budget?
Well, thank you, Jody, and welcome to everyone. Thank you for joining us this evening. I want to first recognize the incredible efforts all of you have done, all our residents have done in helping us navigate the pandemic over the last 18 months by following public health measures and, of course, by getting vaccinated. More than 80% of eligible residents in Peel, 12 and over, have now received both doses of the vaccine. That is great news. And this has been so critical in protecting our hospitals and schools and ensuring that we don't see any more of the blanket closures and restrictive measures that devastated our businesses over the last year and a half. If you had told me 2 months that case counts would be, if you had told me 2 months ago that case counts would be where they are now, I don't think I would have believed you. That's because in July and August, case counts were rapidly rising, and it looked as though the fourth wave was going to completely overwhelm us. But we've been able to limit the impact of the fourth wave. And the single biggest reason why is because so many of you went out and got vaccinated. The reality is that we still have challenges in front of us. We're not out of the woods yet. But I want I want residents to know that we have a strong recovery plan in place to help our city recover and to build back to better. Tonight, I'm joining you to share information on the city's business plan and our budget and to answer your questions. And despite the challenges of COVID-19, our work here at the city never stops to build a more prosperous, sustainable, and forward-thinking city. And as we share our priorities for 2022 budget, you will see that our city is still strong. 2021 forced us to bend, but because we've always been a lean, fiscally responsible city, we didn't break under the pressure that COVID-19 placed on us. At the same time, we realize that money is tight and residents and businesses are struggling to make ends meet. Throughout this pandemic, we've done what we can to support our residents and businesses by deferring property taxes, to waiving payments and late fees, and offering temporary free transit to make life easier during these challenging times. This year's budget will be a particularly important one as we continue to work to recover from COVID-19 and to build back to better. I want to assure you that we are doing everything in our power to design a budget that is balanced, keeps taxes competitive, keeps services running, and minimize any impacts to the taxpayer. During our time together this evening, you will learn about the city's 2022 budget priorities and how we are working to ensure that no one will be left behind during our recovery. We understand these are challenging times for everyone. Although some of our focus has had to shift to deal with COVID-19, our priorities for you, our residents, remain the same: delivering the right services, demonstrating value for tax dollars, maintaining our infrastructure in a state of good repair, maintaining our current service levels with no material increases to service levels in 2022, and of course, our COVID-19 recovery plans. Over the last year and a half, through thoughtful conversations and consultations, we have had the opportunity to hear from many of our residents, our business improvement areas, and our business owners, and many of our stakeholders. We understand that COVID recovery, especially as it pertains to budget management, means something different to everyone. We have captured those thoughts and ideas from previous engagements, and we're looking forward to sharing more about this process, and most importantly, continuing our conversation with you. Although recovery will be our primary focus in 2022, as a young city that is growing up fast, we have other important priorities as well. This includes continuing to build a global city for creativity and innovation with vibrant, safe, and connected communities. City projects that are currently underway to help us achieve that goal include the Here Ontario LRT, the light rail project, which will bring fast, reliable, rapid transit to the cities of Mississauga and Southern Brampton along the Here Ontario corridor. Shovels are already in the ground and work is steadily progressing. Improvements to the Lakeshore Transportation Corridor, including the BRT, the Bus Rapid Transit along Lakeshore, a 2-kilometer stretch that will run from the Etobicoke Creek to East Avenue. We're also evaluating options to improve the experience for people traveling along Lakeshore and Royal Windsor Drive from East Avenue to the Oakville border. We also have a strategy to transform downtown Mississauga into a vibrant, urban, complete community, a place to live, work, learn, be entertained, raise a family, and most of all, a place you choose to be. It's also important for us to look ahead and invest in the future to ensure Mississauga continues to be a great city with a high quality of life that residents enjoy today. The budget process is transparent and democratic. As residents, you have a say in how we develop it, either through your elected representatives or by getting directly involved in the process. And that's why we encourage you to stay connected and engaged in the process. We want to hear from you. The city's leadership team is also here tonight to answer all of your questions. And they include Paul Mitchum, our City Manager and Chief Administrative Officer, Sherry Lichterman, our Commissioner of Corporate Services and Chief Financial Officer, Andrew Whittemore, our Commissioner of Building and Planning, Jody Robios, our Acting Commissioner of Community Services, Jeff Wright, Commissioner of Transportation and Works, and Jeff Jackson, our Director of Finance and Treasury. And now, I'm going to hand things back over to our moderator, Jody Shanoff, to begin the session. Jody?
Thank you very much, Mayor Crombie. For those of you just joining us, my name is Jody. I'm your moderator for this evening's budget engagement session, and I'm pleased to be here with Mayor Bonnie Crombie and staff from the city to talk about the 2022 budget. A reminder to our listeners, you can press *3 on your phone at any time to get in line to ask a question. You can also participate in this discussion by joining us at facebook.com/citymississauga, all one word. There you will watch the discussion live and can also ask questions by typing them into the comments field in the live stream. We're talking about your priorities tonight as the city prepares the budget for 2022. In a short while, we will be taking live questions. In addition to hearing questions directly from you, we have the ability in this budget engagement session to do quick polls with those of you participating using your phones. Let's do one now. I'm going to ask a question and then read out a few possible answers. You can choose the one that best reflects your opinion by pressing the number on your phone keypad that corresponds with your answer. Please listen to all of the answers before you make your selection. Here is my first question. Of the following, which city service is most important to you and your family? If it's libraries, press 1. For transit, press 2. For roads, cycling paths, and infrastructure, press 3. For recreation programs, press 4. For parks and forestry, press 5. Again, that question is, of the following, which city service is most important to you and your family? If it's libraries, press 1. For transit, press 2. For roads, cycling paths, and infrastructure, press 3. For recreation programs, press 4. For parks, green spaces, and trails, press 5. We'll have another poll question for you later, so look for that coming up. Now we're going to get to our first question of the night, which was submitted to us online. And the question is as follows. How is the city managing the deficit from the pandemic? Madam Mayor.
Yeah, thank you for that question. It's an excellent question. I'll kick it off and I'll pass it on to our city manager and maybe even our director of finance, Jeff Jackson, to supplement. But certainly 2020 was a challenge for us. 2021 is as well. But Mississauga is strong. Our finances are strong. You know us to be fiscally responsible. And also that cities are not able to run a deficit. And this is very important to remember. So, you know, last year in 2020, we had a $100 million deficit, in fact, but we were able to mitigate a lot of that ourselves and ended up with a deficit around $60 million, which is similar to the case this year, although we're hoping it'll be a little lower. But we did receive safe restart funding from the provincial and the federal governments for our operating deficits. But we did implement a number of mitigating measures, including implementing a hiring freeze. We did have to lay off 2,500 workers during the height of the pandemic in 2020. And let me say that we were the only level of government that had to lay people off. We cut all our discretionary spending, and we deferred a number of our capital projects as well. So we did whatever we could to mitigate that deficit position and continue to be fiscally responsible and keep our tax increases in line, because it was a very challenging year, not only for businesses, for our residents and for municipalities. Last year, the city implemented only a 1% budget increase, and at the Region of Peel, it was 1.1%. So overall to our residents, it was a 2.1% increase in taxes. So we kept it as low as possible given the demands and the challenges of the pandemic. I don't know, Paul, would you like to add anything to that? And then we'll also ask Jeff Jackson to comment if necessary.
My pleasure, Mayor Crombie. I mean, we've worked really hard over the last, over the period of the pandemic, the last 18 months or so, to, first of all, protect the public, protect employees, but at the same time, deliver great service. So we've worked hard to maintain our frontline services, transit, parks, recreation, and so on, but at the same time, to control costs and to reduce costs where possible. Mayor Crombie laid out many of the measures that we had implemented. And we're continuing with all of those measures. But at the same time, we're, for next year's budget, looking at increasing our cost reduction targets, looking at reducing the number of new employees that we would add for 2022, coming back to council with very modest fee adjustments for 2022. And of course, as Mayor Crombie stated, relying and looking for safe restart funding, and thank you very much to the province for the monies that we've received to date, but using safe restart funding to close the gap on transit funding and on the other services that we provide. I don't know, Jeff, whether you have anything that you wanted to add to that, Jeff Jackson?
I think the only thing I would just add is that we'll continue to monitor the situation and to come up with whatever cost savings, additional cost savings that we can find as we go along. And I think it's important just to understand that the deficit was mostly caused by a loss in revenue. It really wasn't anything that the city had to spend a lot of extra money on. So I'll just leave you with that thought. Over back to you.
Just that before we send it back to Jody, we will also suggest that because we're two-tier government, the Region of Peel had a large deficit as well, and largely because of the increase in public health budget, PPE that was required, many of the social services programs, and as well they benefited from the Safe Restart program because, once again, municipalities are not, through law, permitted to run deficits. Jody, back to you.
Thanks very much for that. Remember, residents joining us by phone this evening can press *3 on your keypad at any time to let us know you'd like to ask our speakers a question, or type your question into the question field for those of you who are listening online. If you're joining us on Facebook Live, you can submit your question by typing it into the comments section within the live stream. We have another question that came in online, and it is the following. What will the city do to manage the ongoing demand for park services?
Well, that is an excellent question, of course, and our parks have been so important to us, particularly during COVID, since we didn't have a lot of options during the lockdown. We encouraged everyone to go into the parks and enjoy them. I live close to the waterfront park, waterfront trail, and really enjoyed my walks. And of course, there's the beautiful Riverwood Conservancy and the Cullum Trail, so many beautiful parks and trails in Mississauga. But we are redeveloping a number of our parks, including the Paul Coffey Park up in Malton, used to be known as Wildwood, and we're about to open a new Churchill Meadows Community Center, and we're redeveloping and renovating the South Common Community Center, and that was done with assistance from the provincial government as well. So we have our Acting Commissioner of Community Service, Jody Robius, with us. Jody, maybe you can add to this question on what we're doing to manage the ongoing demand for our park services.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. And you're absolutely right, Jody and Madam Mayor, that we've seen a significant increase in our parks utilization. We have, on our trail system, as an example, seen an almost 200% increase in certain areas, and we are absolutely prepared for that over the last 2 years. And as the mayor said, it really has been related to the fact that there has been a lot of other things that are closed. So we've redeployed staff across the organization to support our parks, and we'll continue to monitor the uptake in park utilization as we move forward, and we will respond as we need to. But it's great to see that residents are discovering some new parks in their area. Back to you, Jody.
Thanks very much. A reminder to residents joining us this evening, please use *3 on your phone keypad at any time to get into the queue and ask us a live question, ask your question live of the mayor and city staff and have it answered. You can also type your question into the question field if you're listening online. And if you're joining us on Facebook, you can submit your question by typing it into the comments section of the live stream. Our next question is live on the phone. It's Andrew, and Andrew has a question about My Way. Andrew, go ahead.
Yes, thank you very much. My question to the city is, what's the plan for 2022 to try to get the ridership of My Way back up to a sustainable level? I notice every morning fairly empty buses running around the city, and I think a big part of that is many parents are currently choosing to drive their kids to school due to the fear of COVID is still out there. So what is the city's plan to try to get that ridership back to its previous pre-pandemic levels in order to boost the revenue that you get from the fees?
It's a great question. And of course, so we need to get the pandemic under control. During the height of the lockdowns and the height of the first wave, we enabled our residents to use backdoor entry, and we made transit riding free because, of course, notwithstanding the lockdown, people, essential workers, still needed to get to work. And of course, we were operating at a very limited capacity. But things have been improving. And throughout this summer, we were riding at about 40% capacity, and our commissioner would tell us that's even increased a little more significantly now. So, Jeff, why don't you let us know what the plan is to make people feel confident about riding public transit once again and get our ridership up so that we can enjoy that revenue stream once again. Jeff Wright is our Commissioner of Transportation and Works. Over to you.
Thank you, Mayor Crombie. And, Andrew, great question about transit ridership on My Way. And as you've noticed, transit ridership has taken a significant hit during the pandemic. And we are on the road to recovery. And actually, 2 weeks ago at General Committee on September 22nd, we presented our ridership recovery strategy to General Committee. And, Andrew, that strategy looked at a number of different pillars on our recovery. One was around being responsive on our service planning and the delivery. So constantly monitoring and looking at the changing customer demand. And I think that's going to be key is as we see ridership recovering, it's not going to be the same as it was previously, and we have to be reactionary on how that recovery is happening. We have to continue our investment in transit infrastructure, and so we want to continue building and maintaining a network that meets the needs of our customers and supports a transit-oriented city. Along with that is our customer-first approach, and so we need to put the customer and thinking about the customer at the forefront of everything we do. At My Way. I did mention planning and adapting to the future. So looking at things like higher order transit, how we're going to be integrating with the LRT that's under construction, how we're going to be integrating and servicing GO stations in the future. So looking at how we, as ridership returns on some of those services like GO, how we make those connections. And finally, and you've mentioned this in your comments, Andrew, is about managing our revenue and our fares. And so we will be dealing with that budget committee tomorrow. Our fare strategy for 2022, which looks at how we're going to be balancing that value for the service that we provide. So if you want to take a look, Andrew, at that presentation, it's on the General Committee agenda for September 22nd. So with that, back to you, Jody.
Thank you very much for that. A reminder to our listeners that you can ask a question live of the mayor and staff this evening if you press *3 on your phone keypad at any time, and you'll be put in a queue. Listeners who are participating online can type your questions into the question field, and those of you who are joining us on Facebook Live can submit questions through the comments section. Our next question came in online. It's about climate change. Climate change is one of the biggest issues facing our world. What is the city doing to address climate change, Madam Mayor?
Again, I'll kick this one off, and then I'll pass it on to our commissioner if I can. This one actually gives me a lot of pride, if I may. I too realize this is one of the most pressing issues of our time, and of course we need to take action now. And as a government, as a municipal level of government, we've done so, and we're very proud of the initiatives that we have taken. Cities are not immune to climate change, as you know. We see the effects of frequent flooding, extreme heat, extreme cold, and our infrastructure must adapt as well. So I will say that we declared a climate change emergency back in June of 2019, and even before that, we had joined as a city the Global Covenant of Mayors. So we're very proud of that. But we do have goals to reduce our GHGs. We want to reduce 80. We want to mitigate 80% reductions in our GHGs by 2050, compared to 1990 levels, and 40% by 2030. And of course, we believe in we need to adapt to climate change, and we increasing our resilience and the capacity of our city to respond to climate events in the future. And we've done so much by increasing our emphasis on public transit, building in more hours of public transit. Also increasing active transportation, including our walking and cycling trails, etc. And we're trying to change the modal split, reduce our reliance on cars and automobiles. We have launched a 1 million tree program. We plan to plant 1 million trees by 2032. We're greening our fleets to ensure electric vehicles, fleet vehicles, hybrid buses. We even use electric lawn equipment that helps, and we do have a zero emissions vehicle strategy at our city as well. We are building in more EV charging stations, both that for city use and for public parking use as well. And we're enhancing our green standards in our buildings. We're installing triple glazed windows, high energy efficiency lighting, LED lights, rooftop solar lighting, heat pump style rooftop units, etc. There is so much we are doing as a city that we are all very, very proud of. And I know I've overlooked many things. And Jody, I hope you'll be able to complete the discussion on how we have modified our actions and behaviors to accommodate and address the climate change crisis. Jody Robles, over to you.
Thank you, Madam Mayor, and you did a great job. That was a lot of information on our climate change plan. We are looking internally at our own facilities, as the Mayor mentioned, as well as transportation vehicles and networks. The other piece, you know, as we're building new facilities, we are going to have the first net zero fire station built within the next 7 years. So not only are we looking at climate change from a global perspective, but we're really looking at our own facilities. We have our very first fully electric lawn equipment through our parks department, and we are challenging ourselves in the development of green building standards as well for development that's coming in to make sure that we're building our climate resilient future. So thank you for that. Back to you, Jody.
Thanks very much. A reminder to those of you listening tonight, if you've got a question you'd like to ask the Mayor and City of Mississauga staff, please dial *3 on your phone keypad to be put into a queue so that you can ask your question live. Residents who are joining us online can type questions into the question field. And those of you who are watching on Facebook Live can submit questions by typing into the comment section within the live stream. Our next question comes live from Kevin. Kevin's on the phone
and he has
a question about the budget. Go ahead, Kevin.
Yeah, I know. I was just curious as to... I'm just curious as to what type of budget Mississauga brings in, like what type of number does Mississauga bring in on tax, and just curious as to the entire number that everybody's bringing.
You know, it's a great question, and I think I'm going to let the experts handle this. So we'll pass it over to our Director of Finance, Jeff Jackson. But let me just say that we bring in a very responsible budget. We're very fiscally responsible. We're taxpayers, too. And, of course, we value every dollar you give us. We're stewards of your tax dollars, and we take it very seriously. And so last year, by example, we raised city taxes only 1%, and at the Region of Peel, it was another 1.1% for a total of 2.1%, and I think that was very fair, given that we do have union contract obligations, as well as infrastructure and transit obligations to meet, and of course, we want to continue building a world-class city, notwithstanding the pandemic and the additional expenses we incurred during the pandemic. So, Jeff Jackson, why don't you give us, give our caller an idea of the size of our operating and our capital budget and how fiscally responsible we are at the city. Jeff, over to you.
Okay, thanks, Madam Mayor. Our budget in total is a little bit over $1 billion. Our capital budget is $369 million, so roughly a third of that. So the rest is operating. In terms of the tax levy, it's $581 million, and that's about 59% of our total revenue requirements. The rest of our revenue comes from user fees, things like transit fares, development charges, grants, particularly this year from other levels of government. So that's sort of the funding, and most of our budget is either capital related or pure labor. Most of our operating costs, as you can appreciate, like firefighters, are all labor with minimal materials and stuff because we're not running factories in the city. So I think that probably addresses the question, Madam Mayor.
Thank you very much for that. Again, a reminder to our listeners, if you'd like to ask a question this evening, please dial *3 on your phone keypad at any time, and you can get into the queue. Participants who are online can also use the question field to type in a question, or on Facebook Live, type your question into the comments section within the live stream. Our next question came in online, and it is as follows. It's getting harder and harder to afford a home in Mississauga. Prices are through the roof. What is the city doing to make housing more affordable? I can't afford to live here. Madam Mayor.
It's an excellent question, and this is another issue we take very seriously because we want our residents to both live and work in our city, and we all have children, and we don't want to lose them to another municipality because they can't afford the price of housing. So we're trying to provide options for housing so that there's a product for everyone to afford. And we continue to advocate to different levels of government, but we see that the average price of home has escalated in Mississauga, as it has throughout Canada, with the average family home being in excess of $800,000 today in Mississauga, quickly approaching $1 million. So it's out of reach for many in our community, especially young families, seniors who are trying to purchase a smaller home, et cetera. So we're very concerned, and we do have a strategy called Making Room for the Middle. We're looking to incentivize the building of housing for the middle class, and we have a number of recommendations, 40 in fact, that we have made to ensure that people who are middle income earners can afford to rent a home that is a rental of approximately $1,200 to $1,500 a month, or to purchase a home in the $450,000 range, making it affordable for people who earn household incomes that are middle class. So to tell you more about that, I'm going to pass it on to our Commissioner of Planning and Building, Andrew Whittemore, and he can tell you a little bit more about how we're trying to ensure that everyone has an option so they continue to live and work in our great city. And of course, at the Region of Peel, we may want to mention that there is subsidized housing available from the region should you be in need of greater subsidy in order to live in Mississauga. Andrew, over to you.
Thanks, Madam Mayor. So thank you for the question. I'd like to say for affordable housing, the way we're approaching it is in two ways. We are trying to retain the existing stock. So the mayor and council recently approved a rental protection bylaw, which prevents developers from demolishing affordable housing. But in addition to that, what we're trying to do is grow the stock of affordable housing. And there's a number of planning tools we're implementing to do that. Madam Mayor has been very much a champion for affordable housing along the LRT through Ontario corridor. And over the past 3 years, through development applications, we've managed to negotiate several affordable units as well as cash contribution. The thing going forward that we're really focusing on is a tool called inclusionary zoning, which will allow us to require the developer to provide a portion of affordable housing in all development in the future. And with that, I'll turn it back to the mayor. Thank you so much.
And I'll turn it back to Jody Shanoff, because I think you've done a great job explaining our priorities. And yes, we take this very seriously, and I will say that we are the only municipality in Canada that has such a strategy, but it does require the partnership and assistance from other levels of government, because we have set some very aggressive targets, and we need to incentivize the development community to build housing that is more affordable for our residents. Thank you. Jody, over to you for the next question.
Thank you for that question. I'm going to go right to Saki, who is live on the phone with us. And Saki has a question about city employees. Saki, go ahead with your question.
My question is, are you planning to rehire those employees that were laid off during the early part of the pandemic? And I understand from the earlier speaker that you are planning to lay off more employees. What kind of, my first question is, what kind of assistance are you giving those people in terms of retraining, job referrals, or similar assistance? Because to have a robust economy in Mississauga, we need to have a robust employment, and I think that's very important.
Suki, it's a very important question, and of course we value our employees, and unfortunately because of the financial constraints and the severe operational deficit the city was facing during the height of COVID, we did have to close all our recreational facilities, all our cultural facilities, our libraries, etc., and unfortunately all those employees were laid off, about 2,500, but I'm going to ask Sherry and Jody Robios to speak to that shortly. So unfortunately, those people were laid off. Many of them were rehired as we reopened, but still many, because of the uncertainty of employment at the time, sought other jobs elsewhere. So we haven't filled our full complement of employees as of yet. You referenced us laying off more people. That is, to the best of my knowledge, not our plan right now, unless, of course, we were forced to close all our facilities once again. So we were under a hiring freeze. With respect to retraining, there are provincial programs that offer retraining. And with respect to financial support, there are federal programs such as the Canadian Emergency Response Benefit, the CERB, that the federal government had offered employees who had lost their employment as a result of COVID. So I think I'll pass it on to either Sherry Lichterman, our commissioner, or Jody Robius, our acting commissioner, in either corporate services or community services, to fill in the rest. Thank you. Over to you.